Christ Jesus and for your love of all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also into all the world and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins.
First song we'll sing this morning is number 21 out of the supplemental book, On Bended Knee I Come. It's number 21, and we'll sing both verses. On bended knee I come, with a humble heart I come, bowing down before your holy throne, lifting holy hands to you, as I It's good to be with all of you this morning, to come to this place to worship God, and first and foremost, to remember Christ's death. The topic that was given to me is prayer. When I think of the power of prayer, one example that I think of is Elijah, when he prayed to God, and he prayed to him, asking him to stop the rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And that has a, no rain for 3.5 years has a pretty powerful impact upon many things. But something more powerful that I think is more powerful is the forgiveness of sins. And for us as Christians, how we are forgiven of sins is through repentance and confession to God. There are three main things that I want to talk about today about prayer. Three things that I think will be helpful in our service to God and our relationship to God. The first idea that I want to talk about is being humble when we pray. After all, we are the creation and not the creator. And we are sinners, not the perfect sacrifice that was given. If you would turn to Luke chapter 18, I'll begin reading in verse 9. And he, meaning Jesus, also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself: God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. We see here that the publican went home being justified because he was humble before God. He knew that he had sinned and was not even worthy to be in the presence of God. Something along those lines, though, we can't just have the idea or play the part of being humble. We can't say to ourselves that I'm going to be humble just so I can be exalted by God. We have to have a genuine love for God and understanding that we should be truly humble. One example I'm reminded of is in Daniel chapter 9. Here, Daniel is interceding for Israel and Judah. And he begins in verse 7, beginning in verse 7. Righteousness belongs to you, O Lord, but to us open shame, as it is this day to the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those who are nearby and those who are far away in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of their unfaithful deeds which they have committed against you. Open shame belongs to us, O Lord, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. Even though Daniel is seen as a righteous man to us, he confesses the sins of Israel, and he includes himself in those sins. Even though that we may look better than others because of who we are, we should be humbled by the fact that when we sin just once, we are worthy of death. A minor point that I want to make about Daniel in this prayer is that he was bold before God. Look at verses 18 and 19. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your ears and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplications before you on account of any merits of our own, but on account of your great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action for your own sake. O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name. In this case, Daniel was boldly asking God to listen to him and to see the desolations on the people of Israel and to forgive them. But not only should we be humble when we pray before God, we should also have complete faith that God will do what we ask of him. James talks about having faith in prayer in chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask faith in God without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like a surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. We must ask in faith, without any doubting, or we won't receive anything from God. Doubting will only make you learn that you should have put your faith in God. I'm reminded of King Asa, who at first put his trust in God, but later on put his trust in the king of Aram, making a treaty with him. He later died of diseased feet because he put his trust in men rather than God. But when I think of men of great faith, I'm reminded of Moses. And in chapter 32 of Exodus, when just before this, the people of Israel are pleading with Aaron to make for them a god. But Moses prays to God, beginning in verse 11. Then Moses entreated the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your anger burn against your people, whom you have brought out from the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak, saying, 'With evil intent he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to destroy them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your burning anger and change your mind about doing harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore by yourself and said to them, 'I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens, and all this land of which I have spoken I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' So the Lord changed his mind about the harm which he said he would do to his people." Moses had faith that God would listen to him. There was no doubt in his petition to God. I'm also reminded of Psalm 22. The first part of verse 1 says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It may sound at first that the speaker of the psalm is doubting God. But if you read the rest of the psalm, you'll see that the first half of this psalm is a cry of anguish and lament to the Lord. But the second half is a call to worship and a song of praise to the Lord. When I found doubt creeping in, I like to think of this psalm. If all of this anguish and persecution can happen to the speaker of this psalm, and he still has trust in God, then I certainly can have faith that God will answer me in some way. So we've talked about being humble when we pray to God and having complete faith in God when we pray to him. The final idea that I would like to talk about, I think, is overlooked sometimes. We often get caught up in asking things in our prayers for others or for ourselves, which isn't bad, and we have a way that we can do that. But sometimes I think we just need to sit down and thank God for all that he's done for us, without asking him of anything. The passage that was given to me for this topic is Philippians 4 and verse 6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." It does say that we are to let our requests be made known to God, but it is to be with thanksgiving, not forgetting what God has done for us. Maybe something that will help us in remembering to thank him is to just take, at the end of the day, remember all that he's done for us, write it down possibly, and just go to him in prayer, only thanking him for what he's done. Obviously, we can't count all the blessings that we have, but I think it would be very beneficial to us. In the 30th Psalm, David offers thanksgiving to God. Verses 1 through 4. "I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You have kept me alive that I would not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name." Also in Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. "While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priests.' And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But the nine, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. There were nine men. There were 10 men who were leprous. And they came to Jesus, asking him to have mercy on them. And there was only one who remembered that Jesus healed them. Giving thanks in our prayers is very important in glorifying God. I hope that we all can take something from these 3 points, that we make sure we're humble when we bow before God, just as Daniel was, that we put our trust in God, just as Moses did, and that we're thankful to him when we pray to him. All of these are important when we pray. And let us not forget our purpose in this world, and that is to bring all the glory to God.